Bring your warm Christian greetings this evening. It's good to see so many out the house of the Lord on a winter's evening like we have. Like our brother said, it's good to be here. This morning we couldn't be here, but this evening we've gathered together to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. How many of you are enjoying the snow? Several hands have gone up. I guess I'll start with a little poem about the snow. The fleecy snow comes whirling down to dress the earth with spotless gown. Those star-shaped flakes so dazzling white present to us a lovely sight. The trees that once were brown and bare now spread their robes so soft and fair and raise their arms in graceful pose adorned with sparkling winter clothes. The home lights twinkling in the night those soft flakes touch with splendor bright and send out colors rich and gay like precious jewels on display. The moon and stars with silver light add luster to this splendid night. And man admires this wondrous scene, the handiwork of God supreme. Dark spots and shadows fade from view, spread by a loving hand so true. Our Heavenly Father from above thus sends a lesson of his love. You know, when I look at snow so white and pure, and I think we all think of the scripture, don't we? Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be made like wool. Tonight, we don't have anything new to bring, but we're just simply going to look at the scriptures for a little while this evening. I want to talk about the mission of the church. Now, the scripture that our brother read here says how we should deal with our fellow men, how Christians should deal with each other, how employers should deal with employees, and so on. And when I talk about the mission of the church, who is the church? You and I are the church, right? So when we look into God's word, we realize that you and I are the church, and carrying out the mission isn't only assembling as we are here this evening, but it's daily as we go about our separate ways day after day that we need to hold up our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We think about the mission. I want to bring some reminders to us, though I realize that we're possibly know all these things and we're established, that we might not fail till we have reached the mark and received the crown. The main mission of the church is to invite souls to Christ. Be ready for his return. Whatever field you're working in, preaching, teaching, feeding the hungry, assisting the unfortunate, the poor, or just being kind to your neighbor. But really the nitty-gritty, the underlying purpose should be the salvation of those souls that we meet up with day after day. You know, Jesus healed the physical sick, restored sight to the blind, made the lame to walk again, fed the hungry. Yet the golden text of the Bible, John 3:16, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish but have everlasting life." That's the main mission. That's what Jesus came for. That's what he died on the cross. That was the heart of his mission. I want to talk about this a little this evening. I guess what really made me think of this subject, the mission of the church, was a visit that I had in a home, or my wife and I had in a home some years ago. We were out visiting, and we visited in a home, and the family complained that where they went to church, what they talked about at Sunday school, it didn't make any sense. Said they don't talk about the Bible. You don't get anything out of it. We just don't go to Sunday school anymore. Now, that is a poor witness not to go to Sunday school anymore, but I tried to tell them to go to a church where they do teach the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this gave me an opportunity to talk to them about the real mission of the church, what it is. And if the preacher doesn't preach from the Bible, don't go to hear him. I invited them to come to our church where we do preach the word of God, and we don't try to hold up man, but we try to hold up God, as and Jesus is the only one that we, through which we have salvation. And as I talked to them there for quite a while, the grandmother was there, and as I talked to them a while, Esther said to me, she said, "You're doing a pretty good job of preaching right now." And this is what I want to say. The grandma said, "Let him go. It's been a long time since we heard preaching like that." I was just simply telling them that the church isn't just a social gathering, but it's a soul-saving station. And the mission of the church is salvation through Christ. Now, I know that there's places where they have soup suppers and ice cream parties and all that sort of thing, but that's really not the mission of the church. The mission of the church is to tell the truth about Christ, who he is, who he was, and who he will be. Now, when I say who he is, who he was, and who he will be, we know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never makes a change. But first, who he is. Jesus said of himself in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John said of Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." You know what I think about that? Take away the sins of the world. Look at the white snow and think that our sins are taken away. We're just as pure and clean as that snow. I think of the song that says, "My soul, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. What then? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul." That's something to praise him for. You know, God can take the foulest sinner, the blackest sinner, and make him just as white as the snow if we simply give our lives to him. I want to go to Acts and read a few verses there from the fourth chapter of Acts, verses 6 to 12. Acts 4, beginning to read at verse 6. "And Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. When they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Now this is when they had healed the man with the impotent feet. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made well, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.'" You know, when I think today, in a lot of places, they don't hold up Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. And it's pitiful. Even in the Church of the Brethren. I've had a brethren pastor tell me that you let everybody come to God in his own way. That's not what the Bible says. It's only through Jesus Christ. And Peter's putting it straight out, isn't it? He said, "This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men, whereby we must be saved. There's many other scriptures as to who Jesus is in the Bible. The Bible's full of them. The songwriter says, O come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. This is what Peter said in Acts 4:10, give him the glory. He says here, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you well. No one should take any honor to themselves at all. Who he was the divine Son of God. He was with the Father before the world began. I'm going to go to John 16 and read some verses there. Beginning to read at the 33rd verse of John 16. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Jesus here was talking about going back to the Father, to the glory that he had with him before the world was. And he says, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. That's the message that each one of us has to do. We need to glorify Jesus Christ here in the earth to those people. Many don't want to hear it, but even to those who don't want to hear it, we need to hold up Christ above everything else. You know, Bethlehem was not the beginning of Jesus. That was the beginning of his earthly ministry as man among men. But he overcame the world. There in verse 33 of 16, he says, the things that I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace, in the world ye have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. John in the first chapter says, he was with the Father in creation. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was not just a mighty teacher, a prophet who lived and died, whose sepulcher is with man yet today, but he was Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God with us. The grave could not hold him because he was God. He came to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Jesus lived. The songwriter says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Can we say that here tonight with world conditions as they are? Because Jesus lives, all fear is gone. We don't need to fear what any man can do to us, but we need to just put our faith and our trust in him. What about death? It hasn't a sting. The grave to a Christian no terror can bring. Death has been conquered, the grave has been spoiled, and every foeman an enemy foiled. Death has been conquered. Jesus has conquered death. And all because of who he was, the divine Son of God. You know, when they were calling out for them to crucify Jesus, they said he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. He didn't make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. And we need to proclaim that today too, that he was the Son of God. He is the Son of God, and he's the only means of salvation. Who he shall be, and this is possibly the most neglected, the judge of all the earth. It is necessary to preach also the justice and severity of God. Romans 14:11-12. As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Every one of us. You know, it's not a guess, or it's not a whether we're going to bow, where everyone is going to bow. It's when they're going to bow. Those who bow before him here in this life, accept him as Christ their Savior, they're going to be with that happy band. But those who won't accept him, someday they're going to bow. They're going to bow and they're going to confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Go to Philippians. I want to read a few verses there in the second chapter of Philippians. Beginning to read it, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, or because of this fact, God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Every tongue is going to confess someday that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But for those who will not bow, will not accept him now, it's going to be too late. They're going to cry for the rocks and the mountain. The songwriter says, when that awful day we see, oh, what shall our answers be? Not going to be an awful day for the Christian. It's going to be a glorious day for the Christian. But it's going to be an awful day for those who would not accept Christ as their Savior while they have the opportunity. I want to read from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. We had that read, but I want to reread verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The potentate is one who possesses great power, a mighty ruler. This verse says he is the only potentate, and he is going to show that in his time. Not a question, as I said, of whether the knee is going to bow and the tongue is going to confess, but it's a question of when one is going to bow. He has power to save and power to destroy. I don't know. This is an old story that I heard even when I was a boy, and the young people here maybe have never heard it, but the story is told of a man they used to, years ago, they delivered milk with a horse and a wagon, and the story was told of a man that the horse ran off, and there was someone was able to get the horse under control and save his life. Years later, this man had committed some crime and he was come before the law, and the judge handed down the sentence, what it was. And this man said, wait a minute, judge. Don't you remember me? I'm the man whose life you saved, and told him when it happened. And he said, that day I was your savior. Today I'm your judge. And that's the way it's going to be for those who don't accept Christ. One day, today he's the Savior. Someday he's going to be the judge. power to save and power to destroy. That the man saved his life. He was his savior then, but at that time he was his judge. I want to go back to Luke and read from Luke 13. Verses 22 through 29. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut the door, and ye begin to stand outside, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And ye, he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not from where you are. Then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and have drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from where you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves thrust out. They shall come from the east, and from the west, and from the north, and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Just two things there I want to call our attention to in particular. Then shall they begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. I believe those are going to be people who have had the opportunity. They sat under the sound of the gospel, and they're going to say, well, we have eaten and even drank in your presence. But he's going to say, I never knew you. Those who, as I said, don't bow before him now, someday they will, but it's going to be too late. And in the 27th verse there, in the 28th, then there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. I believe that those who don't accept Christ, those who are condemned in the day of judgment, I believe they're going to be able to see. I believe they're going to get a glimpse of what they missed. I really do. I believe that's what it's saying here. When you shall see those, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. I believe the rich man we have the account of, he looked over and seen Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, didn't he? He's seen what he missed. And I believe those who miss are going to see what they're missing. But I believe that those who are redeemed and those who go to be with the Lord, they're not going to see the destruction of those in hell. I don't believe they're going to have to face that. But I believe those who miss it's going to see what they missed. And what an awful day that's going to be. I don't know why the Lord laid this message on my heart tonight. Maybe there's someone here who has never accepted Christ. I don't know. I want to go back to Revelation and read a few verses back there. Revelation 6, verses 15, 16, and 17. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every slave, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? No one going to be able to stand in that day. Imagine crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the presence of him who sits on the throne, but it's going to be too late. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. We need to get the word out, not only from the pulpit, but as we go about day after day, rubbing elbows with those of our neighbors and the people we work with and wherever it might be. They're the ones that need to get the message. Not everyone gets to church like you do here tonight, but there are those out there who need to hear. You know, I often think those that we witness to day after day in our lives and so on, if we can't get them to come to the place where they accept Christ, really, what good is it doing? Now, we should witness, but if we can't get them to see, we still need to keep trying. But the thing that we need to do every day, even in the scripture that was read in the opening here, how we need to treat those that we work with and work for and so on, and leave our light shine that others might see our good works and might glorify our Father who is in heaven. Now, we've really only scratched the surface here this evening in telling about Jesus, but I believe this is where we start. John said, if all the things were written about him that should be, he supposed that even the world could not contain the books. Telling the truth about Christ is the church's number one mission, but there are so many others, other missions, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, the prisoners, the orphans, the widows, and so on. We have many who are sick here in our congregation. We need to visit them and encourage them and pray for them as our brother did in the opening. You know, God hears and answers prayers, and anything that we can do to help those of our brothers and sisters, to encourage them, we ought to be willing to do. And even those, like I say, of our neighbors. I often marvel. We live in a neighborhood of nice people, but there's just very few of them that know the Lord. And what do we do? How do we get them to see? We need to pray for each other that we can be willing and ready to tell them about the Lord and what he can do for them, and witness what he's done for us. I can't imagine what it's going to be like someday for those who have never accepted Christ when they hear him turn them away, "I never knew you." I say we've only scratched the surface tonight. May the Lord bless you, and may we be encouraged to go out and work for him day after day, and someday we'll receive the reward. Thank you.